Appreciate your presence this morning. We have a wonderful Lord's Day, and it's a privilege and honor that we can come together and praise God in songs and worship. And so we appreciate your presence very much. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, Put Your Trust in God. Put your trust in God. In Psalms 4 and verse 5, it says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. And so we're to offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and that is doing the right things, obeying the commandments of God. We sing the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. As long as we put our complete faith and trust in God, then things will go well with us. God will bless us, and He'll be with us and help us to overcome the problems of this life. Trust, the word trust, is a firm belief or confidence in the honesty, integrity, reliability, justice of another. And so we are to have complete confidence in God. We know that He is completely honest. He has integrity, He's reliable, and He's a just God. He's a good God. And so there's no reason why we shouldn't put our trust in Him. We know that millions have entrusted the salvation of their souls to man rather than placing their trust in God. They would rather do what man tells them to do rather than what God ask them to do. Millions believe in God, believe that He exists, but they're not seeking to do His will or to please Him. They're seeking only to please themselves and to do the will of others other than God. Many place their trust in the wrong things. Instead of putting and placing their trust in God, do we place our trust in weapons? A lot of people seem to think because this country is so strong and we have a great army and we have many weapons, and they put their trust in the weapons that this country has. In Psalms 20 and verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Of course, back in those days, they had their chariots, they had their horses and their weapons of that time. Today, we have many more weapons that are more destructive, but yet we're to put our trust in God and not in weapons of this warfare. This world is full of people who place their confidence in guided missiles, fighter planes, bombs, rifles, and other weapons. They'd rather put their trust in those things rather than God. We know that these things didn't stop the World Trade Center from being hit with planes and destroyed. And so no matter how many weapons we might have in this country, terrible things can happen. Many people can die. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 26 and verse 52, Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. And so Jesus rebuked Peter here for using the sword. His battle was a spiritual battle and not a carnal warfare. God said in Revelation 13 and verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And so many people put their faith, their trust in weapons, in a gun. I've known of preachers that would carry a gun. I don't understand why they would need a gun if we put our trust in God. Physical violence is destructive and leads to death. We can't solve our problems with weapons. And so let's not put our trust and the weapons that this country might have, or we might have. Do not place your trust in riches. Many people are putting their trust in riches and material things rather than God. Yes, you may have a good job making good money. You may own a fine house. You may have a good automobile. But we can't put our trust in those material things because it's so easy to lose all those things in just a short time. In Proverbs 11 and verse 28, says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." You can't buy eternal life, no matter how much money we might have. Bill Gates cannot buy eternal life from God. He has to obey God, no matter how many billions of dollars he might have. In Psalms 49, verses 6 through 9, says, "Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly. It shall cease forever, and he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit." And so we cannot redeem our brother. We cannot save ourselves, no matter how much we might have. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we're redeemed. Maybe you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. I am not rich. But yet we are rich, you might say, in this country compared to what most people have in the world today. Even the poor, many of the poor in this country have more than the well-to-do in other countries. Yes, we are rich in that we're so blessed by God and all the things that we have. But even a poor man is placing his trust in riches if he thinks money would solve his problems. Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 23 through 25, "Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" Here Jesus is referring to those who put their trust in riches, in money, in material things. Those who trust riches certainly cannot enter into that eternal home in heaven. We must put our trust in God and not in material things. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6, 8 through 10, says, "Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And so the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And greediness, covetousness, yes, will keep us from putting our trust in God. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Yes, God blesses us richly. He gives us all things to enjoy. And so let's not put our trust in uncertain riches. Do not place your trust in yourself. Many people seem to think that through themselves and their own ways they can save themselves. Only a proud person would do that. In Proverbs 28, verse 25 and 26, says, "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." And so we trust in ourselves, he says, that we're a fool. We're being foolish. We cannot save ourselves. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding." Many people are leaning to their own understanding, doing it their own way, trying to establish their own righteousness. We need to put our trust in the Lord. Many place their trust in their own righteousness. They go about to establish their own righteousness rather than having the righteousness of God. In Luke 18, verse 9 through 14, we have an example here. It says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. They were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled. He who humbles himself shall be exalted." And so we have the Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector was humble. He realized that he was a sinner. He needed God's help. The Pharisee thought that he had done it all by himself. He left God out. Many trust in their own relative goodness. That is, they think that they are living a good life. They say, "Well, I'm a good father, or I'm a good mother. I pay my taxes. I obey the laws of the land. I'm a good person. And therefore, I believe that I'll go to heaven." They think they'll be saved because others maybe are worse than they are. We're all sinners and can only be saved by the grace of God on His terms. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, in Romans 3 and verse 23, the folly of trusting our own strength is exposed by death. That is, we're going to die. We're going to leave this earth and we'll give account of our life in the judgment. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." And so why trust in yourself? You can't raise yourself from the dead. Put your trust in God. He will raise us from the dead, and we'll be judged there by Jesus in the judgment. Do not place your trust in man or in governments. In Psalms 119, verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so we can't put too much confidence in men. Some of the greatest men have fallen, have made terrible mistakes. Men that you've looked up to for years, and then they do something terrible. And so we can't put our complete faith and trust in man. All false religion is some form of trusting man rather than God. Because true religion comes from God, false religion comes from man. And millions of people are being deceived by false religion and false teaching today. They're putting their trust in man rather than God. All denominations are following the teachings of men and not God. Lutheranism is following the teachings of Martin Luther. Calvinism is based on the teachings of John Calvin. And all your denominations are following the teachings of men rather than the Word of God. In Mark 7, verse 7, it says, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And so we must be careful that we're following the teachings of Jesus Christ, the commandments of God, putting our trust in Him. Many people expect government to solve all their problems, looking for a government handout or for money from the government. Any government is bad if the people in charge are bad. The only resources the government has comes from God. Jesus said in John 19, verses 10 through 11, "Then Pilate said to him, 'Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?' And Jesus answered, 'You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivereth me to you has the greater sin.' And so Jesus told Pilate, you wouldn't have any power at all if it wasn't for God. You don't really have the power to do anything. To trust in man is to depart from the Lord. In Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 7, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. And so let's not put our trust in man. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Yes, God will keep us safe, and he will bless us in this life. Do not place your trust in the words of men. In Isaiah 59 and verse 4, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. And so many men are teaching lies rather than truth. They're evil, and they bring forth iniquity. Justice and truth are not important to them, and so they would rather deceive people into believing a lie. The world is full of lying words given by the devil and his servants. In Romans 3 and verse 4, says, certainly not, indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you're judged. And so God is true, and in a sense, every man is a liar. The world will tell us that there's no God, that life just evolved by chance, that the heavens and the earth and all the things in this world, it was an accident. It just happened by chance. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none who does good. Yes, the fool is the one who says that there is no God. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, it's through God that we move and live and have our being. The world tells us the lie that easy divorce is a good solution to marriage conflicts. Believe God who tells us that marriage is for life. It is God's will, it's God's intentions for marriage to last until death do you part. In Matthew 19 and 6, so then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so let's not think that we're going to get married, that if it doesn't work out, we can just divorce for any cause. The Bible doesn't teach that. He says there's one cause to put away a person for fornication. It says when the world tells us the lie that homosexuality is acceptable, an alternate lifestyle, believe God who calls it abomination. Yes, homosexuality, men marrying men, women marrying women, this is an abomination in the eyes of God. And yet many people are accepting that today. In Leviticus 18 and verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination. Romans 1, 26 and 27 says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And so Paul clearly writes that these things are not acceptable to God. But put your trust in God, not in man or any of these things that we've studied about. In Psalms 4 and verse 5, says, offer the sacrifice of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. Now, things don't always go good. We're going to have problems. there's earthquakes and there's fires and all kinds of problems, tornadoes, tsunamis, and all these things. Many people die, but we need to put our trust in God. You'll be blessed if you trust in God. In Psalms 2 and verse 12, blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. You know, it's hard for us to put our trust in God if we've got plenty. It's when we've got little that it's more difficult for us to put our trust in God. But we're being tested and we're being tried. And if we were to lose everything we have, like Job, would we still trust God? We know that Job lost his wealth, all of his animals, his crops, everything that he had. He lost his family. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. They all died. He lost his health. He had boils all over his body. He lost his friends. He lost almost everything he had, but he continued to have trust in God. Would we trust God if we were to lose all that we have? In Psalms 34 and verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And so He is a good God. He's good to us. Every good gift comes from God. Psalms 84 and verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. You know, Abraham trusts God. God told Abraham to offer his son for a sacrifice, his only son Isaac. But Abraham believed God. He believed that if he had killed his son, that God was able to raise him back to life. Of course, God stopped him just before he killed his son. But he put his trust in God. Place your confidence in the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God endures forever. And so let's put our trust in God's Word. And let's read and study our Bibles and learn what the will of God is. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the Word of God is alive, it's powerful, it's sharp. In Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. And so God is a shield, He's a protector when we put our trust in Him. Psalms 18 and verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in Him. In time of trouble, place your trust in God. Sometimes when a person loses their loved one and then they blame God, they turn against God, that's when we need to put our trust in God. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in Him. Psalms 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. And so the Lord is our strength and our shield. He says, my heart trusteth in Him. David trusted God. Psalms 56 and verse 11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Jesus says not to fear man, what man can do, but He says to fear God, love God, respect Him. Psalms 56 and verse 3, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in You. Psalms 57 verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in You, and in the shadow of Your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Yes, God will protect us in times of trouble. The Lord is merciful to those who trust Him. Yes, He has mercy upon us, compassion, and pity. In Psalms 13 and verse 5, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. God is so merciful and loving that he gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. In Psalms 32 and verse 10, many sorrows shall be in the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround them. Psalms 119, verse 41 and 42 says, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Trust in God for the salvation of your soul. God is the only one that can save our soul. Man cannot. Psalms 34 and verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. None of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And so if we put our complete trust in God, we will not be condemned because we're going to serve him and obey him. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10 says, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Yes, we're going to suffer, he says, reproach. But he says we trust in the living God, the Savior of all men. Isaiah 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Yes, God is our salvation. He saves us through the gift of his Son. Where do we place our confidence? Do we place it in God or in man? Psalms 33, verse 20 and 21. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Yes, we rejoice in him. He is our help and he's our shield. We trust in him. Psalm 7, verse 1, O Lord my God, in you I have put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. Yes, the psalmist writes for God to save him, to deliver him from those who persecuted him. Psalms 9 and verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And so God will not forsake us. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. In conclusion, do we put our trust in God? Is our faith in God at all times, or is it in other things? Let's not put our trust in weapons of warfare, in money, riches, in ourselves, in the government, or in men. Put your trust in God. Believe in him and have faith in him. Faith, trust, and obey, as the song goes, in the word of God. In time of trouble, when you're being tested, no matter what might happen in your life, you may have a tragedy, but put your trust in God. Things will work out for the good if we love God and trust him. God is merciful to those who trust him. Trust in God for the salvation of your soul. God can save us, and God will save us if we love him and keep his commandments. Where do you place your trust? Do you trust and obey God? Or do you put trust in something else, in money and material things? Let's always put our trust in God and not in man. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then you need to put your trust in God. You need to obey the gospel and become a child of God. God is a God of salvation to those who obey him. Yes, you must have faith in God and trust him. You must repent of all your sins. Turn away from your sins. Turn to God. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized to wash away your sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do we trust God enough to believe what he says, to obey what he commands? And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to put your faith and trust in God, obey the gospel, and live the Christian life, and heaven will be your home. And so why don't you come now, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing?